Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the Green Ideas Radio Show, as the man said, and I am Green Ideas, and welcome to another Saturday morning foodie show. I want to say one thing before we start the show this morning. We are having, guess what, technical difficulties. So we may be able to have this show right now. Everything seems to be working, but if we lose you and disappear off the map, just want to give you a heads up that we're having some problems here with connectivity, if that's the right word. But welcome to the show, and we will try to limp along here for the next 90 minutes to give you fun food, friends, and entertainment, and hopefully this will all work out this morning. Just so you know, this morning we have coming and joining with us from Maya Bamboo Company, Cassie LaCourse. And they'll be talking about bamboo charcoal, which is kind of cool. I never knew it existed. And then after that, we have some folks from Shaxbury Cider Company who's coming on to talk about hard apple cider and also their project on Kickstarter. And it's a very interesting concept of what they're trying to do in apple country. And then we have our musical guest, Rebecca Moreland, joining us. Rebecca's got a great sound, kind of a pop sound I think you guys will like. So it's a busy show this morning, and all systems are go. And let me just see here. I push this button, and we might have Laurie, the Food News Jersey Style girl. But Laurie, just hang tight if you can hear me, because things are operating slow. There you are. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning. Well, at least we're here so far.
Yeah, it's hanging on barely, but it's going to be one of those days when I push buttons and nothing happens, but that's the story of my life anyway.
Aww.
So I don't see Paleo Man Aaron joining us yet this morning. I don't know if he's coming or going, because I sent him a text message before the show and he did not respond, so we may or may not have the caveman joining us, but what we'll do is we'll do a little bit of food news. Do you have anything interesting in the food news world this week?
I have a few things I think are interesting, but I did want to mention real quick, maybe you want to describe the soup you made, this morning. Actually, no, you made soup yesterday, and I had it for breakfast because it was so delicious.
Well,
so,
I hate to brag, but it is good. It's we had grilled chicken. Let's see, today's Saturday. We had grilled chicken Thursday night. And, of course, the leftover carcass, which a lot of people throw away, is the perfect thing to throw into a pot of water and boil it until the meat falls off. And then added celery, onions, all kinds of veggies, and my secret spices, which includes barbecue sauce, believe it or not. And the soup did come out excellent. And I guess I get thumbs up from
secret,
you, right, Larry?
What was the secret ingredient that you told me yesterday, after I was eating it, I was going crazy. What was the secret ingredient that you told me you added that I would never in a million years guess? No one.
Well, if I tell the secret ingredient, then it won't be a secret anymore. No, what I when I grilled the chicken the other night, I added cinnamon to the chicken. You know, I had all the other spices along with. We actually had the Frank's hot sauce. And I included cinnamon, and I think the other key ingredient, which
cinnamon sugar, though, you said, right?
Yeah, it was cinnamon sugar, which actually turned out pretty interesting. It was a combination of the vinegar taste from the Frank's hot sauce and the sugar.
Yes.
It all worked. I think also the other secret ingredient, which was out of necessity, was that I used pieces of pine tree branches that had fallen down in the yard because I was low on charcoal. And I know people usually cook with oak and hickory and all that, but I didn't have any oak or hickory tree that laying around here anywhere. So the pine kind of gave it the knotty pine taste. It was kind of interesting.
Oh, it was heavenly. And then like I said, this morning I'm thinking, you know, I want something. It has like, it's like a raw, kind of a cloudy raw day here in Maryland. I'm thinking, I just want something hot. And then I heated up that soup again after it marinated.
Well, you do have something hot. You have me, but you're talking about for breakfast, right?
Oh, well, that's a given. You're always hot, but yeah. No, I don't. Well, you know, for someone who doesn't know how to cook, I shouldn't say I don't know how. I know how to cook. I've always had someone cook for me, and I don't like to cook, as you know.
Yes.
But I just can appreciate so much the way you can just throw things in this pot to make soup. I'm thinking, what is he grabbing now? What's that can he's grabbing? I mean, you grabbed beans. Scallions.
I can't tell all my secrets, but I just have this knack. And the nice thing about you don't like to cook, I like to cook, but you like to clean up, I don't like to clean up. So it works out really
right.
Well. I can mess
it
up everything,
well.
Throw it in the sink, and then it magically gets done by you. So.
Oh, yeah, Cinderella steps in.
Yes. So what kind of news do we have today? Actually, we're going to have a busy show. We got three guests, assuming they can all get in and call in. So our first guest will be calling in here probably in about 10 minutes. So what kind of news do you have?
Well, I wish our wine guy, or I should say our wine czar, Brian, was here, because he could maybe, like, add a little to this. But I found this wine. I think I found it, or maybe you found it, Grillian. I don't remember now, but it was interesting. It's called Wine Facts, and it says, it seems that we all feel like rock stars when we're in the presence of a magnum-sized bottle of wine.
Okay.
How would you feel if I told you that they're bigger and better-sized bottles? Yep.
And I didn't know this, by the way. I saw the article and the picture of all the bottles, and first of all, you know, they call me Magnum GI, but I didn't realize that there was larger sizes than Magnum, and it's pretty interesting how large it goes.
I know. This one here, if you could lift it. It says, yep, the type that would be equivalent to 20 bottles of wine. Here are some of the various wine bottles and their capacity. Next time, they said, try asking for a Nebuchadnezzar when partying it up. It's 20 bottles.
It's called Nebuchadnezzar?
Can you imagine how heavy?
20 bottles. That would be a heavy bottle. I saw one of those, but I actually thought it was a joke. A long time ago, I thought it was a joke, like a party and gag type thing, and I didn't realize they actually make up to a 20-size bottle, I guess that's how you would say it.
Yep, 20-size bottle, yeah. You're the math guy. How much would that weigh?
I'm the math guy. I don't know. It would weigh the same as 20 record-size bottles. I don't know.
What's the weight of a bottle?
It's almost two cases, so think about that. Because
two cases
is 24 bottles, so that bottle would weigh almost as much as two cases of wine.
See? I didn't even think of that. There you go. Heavy, heavy. They
have
a 16 bottle. They call it a Balthazar.
Okay.
They have a 12 bottle called Salmanazar.
Easy to
use, some of these things. I know. An 8 bottle for Methuselah. Jeroboam for 4 bottles. Magnum is, of course, the 2, and then the 1 bottle and the half.
You know, we need to post. I want to post that on Facebook, that picture with the different size bottles. After the show, we'll post
that
article
with
that photo so people will know what we're talking about. But I guess next time, I wonder what that would cost. Let's see. I only pay $1.99 a bottle, so that would be a $40 bottle, the big $20 bottle.
I don't think
bottle.
So. No. They're not going to put trash
right.
Raw.
What else you got? I don't know where Paleo Man is. He's probably working out in the gym somewhere.
This was really good. Here is some news that will be sweet to every dieter's ears. Actually, yeah, too bad Aaron's not here to listen to this, but it says cutting out chocolate is more likely to make you put on weight rather than lose it. This is some
I like this already.
Stuff. I know. A survey has found that 86% 86% of people, 86% of people who carried on enjoying favorite treats successfully lost weight. Of the 2,100 men and women questioned, those who lost the most weight had, in 91% of cases, they had continued to eat the same amount of chocolate they normally ate before going on a weight loss plan.
Yeah, I'm loving this. See, these are the kind of health stories that I love. When you get into health stories where I got to eat, like, you know, pine cones and berries to lose weight, but I like this, so I can keep eating chocolate and actually lose more weight versus if I stop eating chocolate.
Yes. You see, now we should have had, well, I made the chocolate pudding last night, so we had soup, though. That was good.
Yep,
we lose weight
chocolate.
When we have soup.
Yep.
See?
I like this. So
It says extensive research has proven that the diets which are centered around food, it makes a lot of sense after I read this, it makes a lot of sense. It says that were centered around food elimination are much more likely to fail. The key is to take a more relaxed approach and to have a little of what you like. I have always said that. Moderation. I mean, people can't believe I'm thin. I'm very thin, and I eat. So it's moderation.
I don't know. You were pretty much, you were chowing down on that chicken the other night.
Well, I do fluctuate. It's like 4 or 5 pounds, but 115 pounds, 5'5", I don't think I'm going to, 120 wouldn't be too bad.
I had to, like,
anyway,
hold you off with
a
fork.
And they do say the camera puts on 10
eat...
pounds, so maybe I look heavier in pictures. I don't know.
Well, I thought you were going to eat the whole chicken yourself. I had to fight you off on my fork.
I did go back and pick it more, didn't I?
Yeah.
The study found that dieters who completely eliminate treats such as chocolate, wine, and biscuits are often more likely to put on weight as they compensate by eating more of the other foods.
Well, you know, that's actually true, because I was on, I guess similar to what Aaron is on, I was on that Atkins diet, which is like a protein diet, and that's where you eliminate all your carbs, and I was on it back many, many years ago, and you stop eating bread. Anyway, make a long story short, you do lose the weight, but my God, when you started eating biscuits and bread again, I think it like it multiplied. Like you eat a piece of bread, and the next morning you gain 3 pounds. I mean, it was just something about, I think your body says, oh my God, a piece of bread, and it starts building fat.
Oh my God,
a
piece of bread. Well, that's why people, I always tell people, diets don't work. It's one thing, you know, you want to lose a few pounds, you know, so you watch a little bit, but you have to change your life. And Aaron's the proof of that. You have to change. He has completely changed his way of living with preparing the foods and stuff. Yeah, so that's why he's doing so well. It also said one study even showed that as many as 65% of those who gave up all treats actually end up ballooning in weight.
I can believe
that.
Because
you're depriving
yourself. Your body craves it, and I think you end up probably eating more of other things because of it, right?
Well, that's what happens. It says, but it doesn't end there. Separate research has also suggested that eating chocolate may help you live longer. And I'll tell you what, my dad ate dark chocolate, I should say. I eat dark chocolate for years and years, and he died 2 months before his 89th birthday.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go.
And I don't know if you noticed the other night when I was coming back from D.C. that there I had left the wrappers of two Hershey's bars in your
I know.
Center
console
You're
of your so car. Cute. I actually like that. It's so cute when I get in my car and I see, like, a coffee cup with little, like, wrappers shoved in it.
Well, that's how I stay awake, because it's a long day, and you pull over to one of the quick stop places, and you get yourself a cup of coffee, and coffee and chocolate are the biggest wake-me-up there is, so... Plus, now I know it's healthy for me, so, hey, I was actually stopping for health food, so no arguments.
Yeah. That's on our food list all the time now, dark chocolate. I love that.
Well, they say wine and chocolate. There's two things that go together, and then both of them make you live longer.
Yes. That was the next article.
Was it? Well, then you should go to the next article.
No. I'm sorry. No. It wasn't. The bacon article is next.
Oh. Well, bacon. Okay, well. Bacon, too. We just read recently that bacon is good for you. Why don't you go to that article next there, Food News Girl?
I think I will. Since we're scrolling, is your caller calling in or no?
Yes.
Oh, good.
No one's called in yet.
Do you have 11 minutes for me?
No, you need to read your bacon story.
Oh, boy. Okay. For bacon lovers everywhere, I think that's almost everyone, a study conducted by researchers at S. Zurich has concluded that the high levels of vitamin B3, known as niacin, in this meat could help you live longer. To test this, energy metabolism professor Michael Ristel, he fed roundworms a dose of niacin, discovering that they lived one-tenth longer than those who went without it. The vitamin is
roundworms?
He fed roundworms a dose of niacin.
Couldn't he have picked like earthworms instead of roundworms? That sounds nasty anyway. Okay, go ahead.
The vitamin is also rich in paprika, peanuts, which I know you love those too, and sun-dried tomatoes. This is surprisingly contrary to what scientists have believed, because the standard assumption has been that niacin promotes the formation of, quote, free radicals causing faster aging. But an antioxidant-rich diet has been contradicted by Ristel's findings, and it shows that niacin tricks the body into believing that it is exercising. Perfect for any particular lazy individual. That's what
I love this. So I can actually eat a pound of bacon and trick my body into thinking that it's working out. I love this.
Yes. And at the last line, I do have to read it, says, next up we'll be testing the theory on mice, because they only did it on the roundworms. But for now, allow me to personally thank science.
So right now, based on great ideas, scientific information that we're passing along today, we all should eat more bacon, we should all should eat more chocolate, and we should all drink more wine. Now, there you go. Now, there's
okay.
A health conscious group there.
All we need now is some cheese, and I'm really happy.
Yeah, go find it. There's got to be some article somewhere that says cheese is good for you. And while you're at it, there's got to be somebody like the Beer Institute has probably said beer is good for you. Let's find out all the junk food. I bet you, if you look hard enough.
That's what we should do.
Who makes Cheetos?
Junk food that is good for you.
No, Frito-Lay makes Cheetos, I think. I bet you Frito-Lay has a study that says Cheetos are good for you, too.
Hey, as a matter of fact, I do have a cheese article. I'm laughing now. I do have a cheese article on here for later, but I probably won't have time to read it.
Well, guess what? You got plenty of time because nobody's calling.
Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh, really?
Yep.
Yep. Aww.
Hey, Laurie, why don't you talk about cheese?
I want to talk about Walmart real quick. They're hiring.
All right.
For anyone out there looking for a job.
Oh, Walmart, that's right. They're off. That's right. I forgot about that. That's a cool story. So what are they doing?
It is pretty interesting. Walmart, the world's largest retailer, plans to test online shopping with home delivery in the Denver area. They will join a store in San Jose, California, in testing the online home delivery service. We talked about this. I had mentioned that the ShopRite on the East Coast.
Right.
They do phenomenal with this. Phenomenal with online shopping. It says, in addition to groceries, shoppers will be able to get a wide range of other items, including over-the-counter pharmaceuticals, light bulbs, camping gear, and toys. The company is accepting applications for the test at walmart.com/to-go, but has not specified when the delivery system will go live.
Hmm.
But you know what? I still like to shop. I'm not, you know, I know there's a lot of, you know, busy people out there, but me and you have so much fun when we go to Walmart. I mean, if someone could videotape us, they'd be hysterical. We are cute together in the store, I have to admit.
Well, if somebody had a video of us in Walmart, it'd probably go viral, because at least I think it's funny. Especially, like you said last week, whenever we were last talking about it, how I dig through the meat counter trying to find the special meat. I get so excited with those pork loins.
You really do.
Speaking of pork loins, having pork steak tonight on the grill, because I took the pork loins that I bought at Walmart, cut them into 1-inch thick steaks last night, marinated them last night, and they've been sitting in the refrigerator and they're calling our name. So tonight we're having pork steaks that look like they're going to be really good. So
Walmart. And you married them in coffee.
Yes, coffee and Frank's hot sauce and some other mystery ingredients.
Mm-hmm. And our wonderful neighbor who we love, Dan, with Jermaine, is coming over. We invited him.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
Please tell me someone's calling in.
No, we still don't have a caller. Go to your cheese story.
Oh, boy.
And then hopefully our first caller. Actually, you know what? I guess she's actually on time. It's probably me that's messed up the schedule here. But anyway, go to your cheese story, and then we'll take a break, and then hopefully we'll have our first guest.
Oh, I have a question. Instead of the cheese story, it's kind of long. Maybe I'll do this real quick one. Forget the fast
food
drive-thru.
Okay, well, hey, Laurie, it's your show. Do whatever you want to do.
It's kind of a long story, though, the cheese one. I don't
All
know.
Right. Well, if you keep talking, then you won't need to tell any story. What story would you like to do, Laurie?
Okay, here we go. Burger King will bring your Whopper, large fries, and soda right to your front door.
Well, there
that's
you go.
A good story, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. Speaking of delivery.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Is that it?
No, I lost you for a second. I got scared.
Oh, okay.
Okay. No, that's not it. I mean, there's more. The hamburger chain is now delivering in Tucson as part of its 18-month-old BK Delivers program. I am the trial balloon, said the restaurant owner's franchisee Michael Talawito. He expects other Burger King restaurants to come on board once they see how this is working. Burger King Delivers offers a more streamlined menu than what's offered in the restaurant, though. So customers can expect to wait 30 to 45 minutes during the week, as long as 55 minutes on weekends for delivery. But the food is hot when it arrives because everything, including the fries, is made to order, and food is stored in heated thermal bags for the drive.
Well, I love that idea. Of course, we live so far freaking away from a Burger King. If they delivered it to us, no matter what they're packing it in, it would be still ice cold by the time they get there.
Well, to us, yes. But you know what? I think it's a great idea.
I think McDonald's has been trying that, too, in some areas. So, you know, Domino's and all those pizza guys have been doing
they
it for
do
years.
It.
Why not Burger King, McDonald's, KFC, whoever else wants to do it
someplace?
Hey,
maybe Dunkin' Donuts will deliver it.
We'll just all sit home. We'll sit home, eat our chocolate, drink our wine, eat our bacon,
and
wait for our delivery. And we'll never leave the house anymore.
And we'll still lose weight being lazy.
And we'll lose weight all along. That's right. All right, we're going to take a break. We actually have our first guest calling in. So we'll be taking a break here and coming back. And we'll be meeting with from the Maya Bamboo Company, Cassie LaCourse. We'll be talking about bamboo charcoal, which is very interesting for you grillers out there. So everybody hang tight. We'll be back here in just a couple seconds.
Is your website missing that extra zing? Do you need a radio commercial? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I can help you. Hello, I'm Christopher Trimble, and I am a voiceover artist. I offer these great services: website intros, corporate presentations, audiobooks, radio commercials, and much, much more. Check out my site, www.christophertrimble.com, or you can call 407-556-5506. Once again, that phone number is 407-556-5506. Making noise since 1970.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yeah, like the man said, check out biggreenegg.com. You can find a dealer near you to find yourself your own Big Green Egg. And you can't beat Big Green Egg for... Well, at least what I cook on it, they've made me a cooking, grilling expert. And Laurie can tell everybody, I guess, that you agree, the Big Green Egg makes some amazing meal.
Absolutely. But you know what? You have the touch, though.
Well, because it's our sponsor, you're supposed to say only because of the Big Green Egg.
I said, of course.
Anyway, go to biggreenegg.com and check it out. See if you can find a dealer near you. Just punch in your zip code and go get yourself a Big Green Egg. And speaking of grilling, what a segue. We have our first guest from, I think it's Maya Bamboo Company or LLC. Cassie LaCourse is joining us, and we're going to be talking about charcoal, but charcoal made out of something a little different than most people are used to. It's made out of bamboo. And welcome to the show, Cassie. I hope you're there.
Thank you. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Oh, doing fantastic. Thank you for joining us on the show this morning. And I saw your product on Kickstarter, and I wanted to have you on the show because, first of all, it's very unique. I had never heard of it before, so I don't know if I've been living in a cave somewhere, but
we're the first ones doing it in the Americas, so it doesn't even exist here.
Well, it's pretty cool, and can you tell us a little bit about your product? And it's actually, the product's called, I guess, Hot Bamboo, and you can find the product at hotbamboo.com, and the bamboo is spelled B-A-M-B-U.com. And can you tell us a little bit how you got into the business and a little bit about the product? And you said you could talk all day about it, so I'm going to turn you loose, and you can talk about bamboo charcoal.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Well, yeah, we do. We spell it with a U, and that's we're trying to kind of delineate the fact that we are creating it in the Americas as opposed to elsewhere, because the majority of things that are bamboo in the United States come from Southeast Asia. But by the time you put bamboo charcoal in a shipping container in Southeast Asia and you bring it all the way to the U.S., one, it's not sustainable, and two, it costs too much. But anyway, so we have been producing in Mexico as well as Jamaica, and we are using a closed retort system that's really, really green and very efficient, and it's pretty interesting. But the product itself is amazing as a tool, and that's what I always tell grillers is to use it as a tool because you get really, really high searing temperatures. It lights very easy. It's got very neutral, very little smoke, and it's just great for the BGE, for the Big Green Egg, because you do get these. We've had over 900 degrees searing temperatures, and because of the neutral smoke, it's great for pizza, and it's really great for desserts and things like that. But as far as how we got into the business, my husband and I just recognized the fact that there wasn't a sustainable option in the grilling market. You know, you've got lots of tools out there, and technically speaking, you know, trees are sustainable, but bamboo is that much more so because you don't cut it down. It's selectively harvested, and the plants live between 80 and 120 years, and, you know, you can pull biomass from it constantly in that time period. So it's, you know, it's got a nice non-deforestation side to it, as well as, you know, we found ourselves going to the store and buying, you know, grass-fed beef for, you know, what have you a pound, and putting it on charcoal that we weren't thrilled with, that you could smell fuel and things like that. So we felt that that there was an opportunity in the market to create something that was like this, and so we did.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. So when you grill with the bamboo charcoal, it doesn't give off any fumes as far as smell at all. It's pretty neutral.
It's extremely neutral and extremely hot, yeah. So what you want to do is obviously, you know, soak some chips if you're interested. The one thing that I found that's fantastic that a lot of women grillers out there will appreciate is sometimes with fish and stuff you get that really over-smoky taste, which is fine sometimes. But with the bamboo charcoal, you get your marinade, and that's great.
Okay.
For many years, you know, I didn't get to taste some of my fish marinades, and now I do.
Now, when did you guys actually start making this?
We've been at it for about 3 years. It's been it's been a labor of love. We actually built the machines to manufacture them ourselves. So it's you know, it's just my husband and I, and it's just a pretty small team. You know, we've got a bigger team now, but we didn't know if the market was ready for it. And so what we did is we brought it all the way to a test market with a small Whole Foods in Wexford, Pennsylvania, just to see if people would recognize the fact that it was, you know, sustainable and a grilling product. And for sure they did, and it sold out. So right now we launched the Kickstarter for support so that we can ramp our production and really, you know, really answer what people like you, curiously, you know, really want to use it and give it a shot and put it in your repertoire of tools.
Talk about the Kickstarter as to exactly what you're going to be doing. If people go to the Kickstarter program project, they can actually donate money. And we've had some people on our show before from Kickstarter. There's always some interesting entrepreneurs on Kickstarter in the food business. But how can people help out, and what are your plans if they donate money to your project?
Yeah. Well, Kickstarter is an exciting platform, especially in this atmosphere of banks not loaning and things like that. So a lot of entrepreneurs have really become more creative, and that's what we're doing. And the Kickstarter is so that we can amp production in the United States. So we actually have a design for a mobile retort that'll go to bamboo groves in the U.S. and actually produce a United States product. for the hot bamboo. And we're really excited about that, number one, to create jobs, et cetera. Number two, if you go to Kickstarter, the project name is Hot Bamboo, H-O-T-B-A-M-B-U, and there's lots of exciting rewards that you can choose from, anything from, sure, you know, a hat to a PDF cookbook that my husband and I wrote we also have a design PDF download of a backyard retort that you DIYers can make at home and make your own charcoal from whatever biomass and waste that you have in your backyard. So that's pretty cool. And it's you know, check it out. There's a video that explains a little bit more about our company and who we are. And if you have any questions, you can email me through Kickstarter as well. So
this may be a stupid question, but most of the questions I ask are stupid. But
no.
I know when I lived in California, bamboo grew in California, and you see it in tropical areas. Now, is there certain areas of the country where bamboo grows better than other? And you're in Austin, Texas, I believe, right?
I am in Austin, yeah. We have a lot of bamboo here. Mostly the southeastern United States, southern parts, it is more prevalent to be larger and like a clumper. But there are 36 native species to the U.S. So, you know, there are a lot of bamboo. Every state has a species. Now, there are some invasives, but there are also a lot of natural species. You know, you hear a lot of conversations about runners and people getting upset. You know, we actually have an opportunity to, with municipalities, to go in and help them with certain areas that are overgrown, which is exciting. But yes, you make a good point. Some of the really big woody tropicals grow faster in certain circumstances and under certain conditions. But the southeastern United States has a tremendous amount. From us to you guys, over towards the Carolinas and such, there's a huge opportunity for it. We also have a design for a briquette, which is a natural briquette that we can also make. Right. So if we have smaller bamboo, we can carbonize it, crush it, grind it, and mix it with a natural binder and make it into a briquette. So we're hoping to grow here in a big way. Right now the product is strictly lump. It's pretty exciting. You open it up, it looks like big pieces of bamboo. But we've got bigger ideas. That's a great idea, and lump is what I prefer grill on. But, you know, everybody needs all the tools. So
now, if how long does it take for bamboo to grow? I mean, that may be asking questions I should know, but I mean, if someone
under the right conditions,
yeah.
Under the right conditions, bamboo can grow up to 4 feet a day. It's a graft.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an amazing plant. It's a grass. It's not a tree. In the United States, when we have seasonal lulls and colder, then it slows down a bit. It doesn't always go, can sometimes go dormant. But the interesting thing is when a shoot comes up from a bamboo plant, it'll get its maximum height in that first year. So if it's a 50-foot pole, it'll go all the way up that 50 feet. But then it takes about 2 to 3 years for it to reach its density and maturity. And the density is what makes great charcoal. So we only harvest poles that are 3-plus years old because bamboo, even though it's lighter weight than hardwood, is denser than the hardest hardwood.
I thought it was less dense, so it's actually denser than hardwood. Yeah.
It is. It is.
Wow.
And so that's the interesting thing. Even though the charcoal itself is lighter weight than wood charcoal, its BTUs and performance are quite, surprisingly even to us, very, very high. So, like, if you look at our 5-pound bag, it has the same dimensions and width and girth as a 10-pound bag of lump.
Okay.
Now, it's lighter weight, but you use the same amount as you would lump, and you get the same performance. So it's, you know, in a completely open oxygen situation, it burns a little bit faster, but it also gets up to temperature faster. So it's kind of an interesting thing. You'll have to give it a shot. We'll have to get you a bag so that you can follow up with your listeners.
I'd like to try it. I got to follow up because, you know, we have the big green egg, and I like to try it out because you can go up to, like you said earlier, 500 or 600 degrees and cook in the big green egg. So it'd be interesting to test it out, and we can report back to our listeners. A quick question I had, too, was the big question I'm sure everybody wants to know, how the price compared to standard charcoal?
Sure. We are price competitive. So again, it's tough because of the volume, because there's a little bit of education in terms of the performance, comparatively speaking.
Right.
So if you were to compare our 5-pound equally to a 10-pound of like Ozark or what have you, we're pretty much equal. Okay, so we're equal to a higher performing expensive bag of charcoal. But if you were to take the performance and the 5-pound aspect, we're more like in the 83 cents a pound. So, you know, it's selectively harvested, so there's a little bit more labor because we're not just taking a machine and clear cutting a tree. So there's a lot of mechanized things that we have to compete with a little bit. But we're hoping that people realize that it's not just the performance of the product that's a tool for them to use along with their other, you know, lump and oak and whatever other materials they do use, but it's also, you know, something that's a thoughtful thing for the environment. You know, I don't think that we realize that our 1 million tons of annual charcoal consumption in the United States does lead to clear cutting and stuff in Central and South America, because that's where most of our lump charcoal comes from.
I didn't know that. Well,
yeah, I mean, not to be a downer.
Yeah, really. But no, I mean, it's a big market, and more and more people are home grilling, too. And keep us posted on how your project moves along on Kickstarter. And everybody's listening, you can go to Hot Bamboo, and it's spelled BAMBU.com, and you can find out more about the product. And also, yeah, I guess you have a link to the Kickstarter project there on your website.
Yep, there's a link to the Kickstarter, or you can go directly to Kickstarter and look up Hot Bamboo, HOTBAMBU, and we really appreciate all your support. And thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks, Cassie. We appreciate it. And I keep this posted. And when you send me some, I'll try it out, and I'll let everybody know how it goes.
You got it. Sounds great.
Take care. All right, bye-bye.
All right, you
too.
Thanks.
Check out her website, hotbamboo.com, and go get yourself some of the bamboo charcoal. It sounds pretty interesting, Laura.
Sounds unbelievable. I can't wait. I think we'll have to show pictures, too.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much deforestation goes along with charcoal. Honestly, this is how stupid I am. I actually thought charcoal came from the ground, like coal. I want to take a break, and we'll be coming back with our next guest, which is from Shaxbury Cider, and they also have a Kickstarter project that it caught my eye, and it's called the Lost Apple Project, and we'll have the co-founder, Colin Davis, joining us. So we're going to take a break, and since we're talking about barbecue, I'll play a barbecue song, and everybody hang tight. We'll be right back here in just a few minutes.
The pot is on and the coast is clear. Put on some beans, put on some blue. Having a Mississippi barbecue. Want all the neighbors, tie up the dog. Gonna cook about a half a hog. Call up my cousins and the Johnson twins. They show us drunk, don't you let them in. Throw on some ribs. Mississippi barbecue from Jack. tell these kids to stop playing with that knife. Put on some ribs and play with some blues. Having a Mississippi barbecue from Jackson.
Yes, that is good, and we are back, and this is the Green Ideas Radio Show, and this is Green Ideas, and we thank our first guest from the Maya Bamboo LLC company and talking about their bamboo charcoal. If you're just joining us, was a great segment, and if you get a chance, check out their website, hotbamboo.com, at bambu.com, and you can find out more about their Kickstarter program and project that they're working on to get more of the bamboo charcoal out to the market. And speaking of Kickstarter, we have our next guest joining us, and I found the next guest on Kickstarter and found their story to also be very interesting and wanted to have them on the show because we're going to be talking about apple cider, and the company's called Shaxbury Cider Company, and I'm having a little problem, as you can tell, Laurie. I'm stalling here, trying to get him on the phone here, but here we go. Now it's finally working. If everything's working okay, we should have Colin Davis, the co-founder of Shaxbury Cider, joining us. Good morning. Are you there, Colin?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, hear you fine. We're having some technical difficulties this morning. Welcome to the show. We wanted to have you on because I saw you guys, like I said earlier, on this Kickstarter project, and wanted to get you on to talk about your company and also the Lost Apple Project, and thank you for joining us. So can you tell us a little bit about your company, what you guys do, and a little bit about your Kickstarter project?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. I came to this company. I was looking to do some sort of value-added ag business here in Vermont, and both my co-founder and I have lots of friends around here who do really incredible things, from cheese to caramels, you know, to great meat products. And so it's just a really exciting place to be here in Vermont right now in terms of food. And my partner, David, was working at a local orchard called Sunrise Orchard, which is the largest orchard in the state, actually. And they grow some incredible fruit there, but they're pretty much all wholesale. So they also own a large refrigerated warehouse in the town of Shoreham, where I live.
Okay.
So Dave was working for them. He was helping them look at some value-added things they could do, you know, applesauce, pies, whatever. And I actually came on as a consultant for that project. And just in the course of working with them and taking a look at hard cider, you know, we went down to Poverty Lane Orchard in New Hampshire. Steve Wood, the owner there, has really made the first commercial scale traditional cider apple orchard down there, and his product, Farnham Hill Cider, is just incredible. So hearing from guys like him, looking into the whole hard cider scene more, it really inspired us both to do something here where we grow such great apples. So that's how
how long got started. Now, I was watching your video on the Kickstarter project, and if I understand it correctly, so these apples that you guys are looking to grow more of, are these the ones that we know about as the Johnny Appleseed apples?
Yeah. You know, some of them are probably just seeds that dropped, you know, and randomly sprouted into a tree. Some of them were definitely planted on purpose for hard cider out here. So, and we are also working with Sunrise to propagate or to plant traditional English varieties that are a lot better known. We've got about 5,000 of those trees in the nursery right now. Half of them are going into the ground next spring, but then this Lost Apple Project is specifically about, you know, this place, Addison County, Vermont, and the trees that were planted here 100, 200 years ago for hard cider.
So if somebody wants to join the Kickstarter project and help with what you're working on, what they do is, my understanding is that they would donate money, and for every $20 that's donated, it actually puts a tree into the ground?
That's correct. Yeah, so it's, you know, planting orchards is a long-term commitment. and so what would happen first is that we would be grafting onto rootstock at the nursery, and it would be there for a while, and then once it's mature enough, it would go into the ground. We've got about 10 acres at Sunrise that we're working with, and so that you can, you know, we're looking at about 500 trees per acre in terms of density.
Cool. Now, we were talking to the lady before you came on the show who grows bamboo, and they make bamboo charcoal, and she was saying it takes 3 years before they can actually harvest bamboo once it's planted. How long does it take for these apple trees to grow before you can actually start harvesting apples to make cider?
Yeah, so it's going to be, we're actually doing sort of a two-pronged approach. This specific project is actually to get trees in the ground, but we're working with Sunrise and a couple other orchards in the area to actually do some top working on trees, maybe some cleft grafting to get fruit in a year or two.
Okay.
On a smaller scale. But in terms of the stuff we're putting in the ground, you know, it's probably going to be 5 years until we start to see any production out of them.
Now, what kind of, you guys make a cider now, is that correct?
Yeah, so we're, you know, we decided early on, we were really inspired by what, again, Farnham Hill was doing and some other folks. And, you know, we really wanted to make our own stuff here, but we decided that we wanted to really have a premium product, and it's very hard to do because you really need these traditional cider apples to get a complex, full-flavored cider.
Okay.
And they're nearly impossible to find in the U.S. right now. They're very expensive when you can find them.
Hmm.
And so we do have a New England that is a blend of traditional cider apples and a little bit of fruit we can find around, that, you know, from Sunrise, dessert fruit. So that's something we've made ourselves. But then we also have gone abroad to partner with some other cider makers. We have one from England. He's from Putley, which is in Herefordshire, and another cider maker just outside of San Sebastian in Spain. You know, that's to do something on a commercial scale. That's sort of where we've had to go to get the product that we want to get, and both of those places have very robust cider traditions. This Basque area of Spain, they drink more per capita, I think, than any other place in the world.
I'm gonna show my ignorance here, which I do every week when I'm on the show, but. Hard cider is an alcoholic beverage, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And how much alcohol is a typical hard cider?
I would say so the apple juice will ferment to dryness, you know, unless you do something drastic to stop the fermentation. But so when you let it go to dryness, you know, it might be 6% on the low end to maybe 8 or 9 on the high end.
Really?
Yeah. So,
and
but,
I know that that's kind
but
of
in the U.S.,
here, everybody seems to be drinking a lot of hard cider. I read an article just recently that it means more and more people are turning to cider. So it sounds like you're kind of on the cusp of an up-and-comer. It's an old product, but it's making a comeback.
Yeah, and that's what's great about it is that there is this sort of, you know, understanding that people have about hard cider and about apples, you know, our heritage here in the U.S., and it's a... You know, it's a cool thing. Here in Vermont, too, there's still people, lots of people around who kind of make it, you know, just 5 or 10 gallons in their basement. And so
kind of like moonshiners, right?
Yeah, right. But it's great. It's a great tradition to add to the other, you know, alcohol traditions that we have.
So your goal is with the Kickstarter project is to get back to the original type of trees that were originally brought over, I think it was in the 1600s, and then make a cider based on the original cider apples, that was their original intention, and using that in your product.
That's right. Yeah, so none of the apple trees, I mean, apple trees are not native to North America. Again, most of them that were planted, in the early days of settling this country were planted specifically for hard cider. It was relatively easy to make. It was hygienic, sanitary. It wasn't like drinking out of a stream that might have, something nasty in it. And it kept for a while. You could put it in the cellar, and the thing about these traditional cider apples, they have higher levels of tannin. That's sort of what defines them as a category. And so just like red wine, if it's properly put up, it keeps for a very, very long time. I've had 10-year-old cider.
If people want to find out more about the Kickstarter project or your company, they can go to your website, which is Shaxbury, that's Shaxbury.com. And you can, I guess there's a link there for the Kickstarter project also.
Yeah, there's a link at on the navigation bar that says Lost Apples, and if you click through to that, that'll explain a little bit about what we're doing and have a link to our Kickstarter project.
Well, we wish you a lot of luck. Now, how many more days are left on your project?
That's a good question. I think it's about 21,
and
we're over 70% of the way there.
Oh, good.
So, we're really excited. And the more we get, the more trees we plant. We thought that 500 trees was a reasonable goal, but if we get more money, we'll plant more trees. And we're excited to do that.
Well, it sounds like a worthy cause, and we wish you best of luck with your Kickstarter project. And all the listeners, if you want to check out their company, go to their website and find out more how you can support the Lost Apple project. And Colin, we appreciate you joining us this morning and tell us a little bit about apple cider and hard cider, and keep us posted and let us know how it goes.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right, sure thing. Take care. Like I said, check out Colin's website, and sounds like an interesting project, Laurie. And have you ever had the hard apple cider, Laurie? I don't even know if you've ever, have you ever had that and tasted it?
Yes, I've had. Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I suppose a stupid question, but I wasn't sure if hard cider was all considered hard cider was alcoholic. I assumed it was, but yeah, I've had it, and I didn't realize it had such high alcohol content. It's actually higher than most beers.
I was surprised when you said that. I know. I didn't think it was that high either.
Very interesting. Well, we're going to
great
take.
So
yeah,
far.
Very great
really
guest. We're going to take a break here if I can get the system to work. I'm still having some issues with the system not working. I can't even hang up Colin's phone at this point, but I'm going to take a break here, and let me see here. We're going to play a song. I was trying to find something appropriate, like some kind of drinking song, but I can't even get the system to work here.
Hey, look, at least we have a show. We weren't sure, until last
that's
minute.
That's true.
So.
That is true. Well, hang on. I think I've got – how about I know what I'll do? I'll play Whiskey in My Soul, my good buddies, the Moonshine Bandits, and that kind of goes hand in hand with what we were at Hard Cider. And we'll be coming back here in a couple of minutes with our next guest, which is Rebecca Moreland, and she's got a kind of a pop singer and got some interesting music. So let me see here. Push this button, and it's not working. And Laurie, can you sing and dance? I guess we might. Here we go.
Well, I was hoping you'd be able to get a commercial going, because doing commercials, I clean. So I was up here making the bed really fast. I had washed the sheets. I'm thinking, good, a commercial. I'm putting the sheets on the bed.
Well, I need to do a commercial too today and get rid of some hard ciders. So here we go. Let's try this, and we'll be right back.
Drink some beer. Well, we jumped in our truck for a midnight ride, and we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer.
Yes, we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer. Drink some beer.
Well, I've been known not to walk the line. I find myself drinking on company time. Pour me
some whiskey.
Whiskey, whiskey.
I want some whiskey.
Whiskey, whiskey.
Get up on the table now, break that bottle now. Drink, 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 drink. I could raise some hell and I could do it well. Ain't nothing to a boy that could dump a few shells. Going rack in the back, old Jack in the sack. Head hitting on the dash while holding hair back. Now Johnny Cash rapped and he loved this track. Tell mama I'm a rebel, thank Hank for that. Tell mama I'm a rebel, thank Hank for that.
Well, we jumped in our truck for a midnight ride. And we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer.
Yes, we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer. Drink some beer.
Well, we've been known not to walk the line. We stumble damn near every night. Pour us some whiskey.
On the table now, break that bottle now. Drink, 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 drink. Hey waitress, go ahead and get me some. But if it ain't about whiskey, don't bring me none. And I ain't lost the line, cause I'm a rebel, son. I'm a tattooed redneck outlaw.
Well, we jumped in our truck for a midnight ride. And we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer.
Yes, we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer. Drink some beer.
Two shot, three shot, four. Raise your glass and hit the dance floor. Now put them on my tab and give me four more. One beer, two beer, three beer, four. Now whiskey and women gon' treat me right. I'ma raise a little hill till I see a little light. I get kicked out of bars almost every night because I live these songs that I write.
And we are back, and that was the Moonshine Bandits. And I think Laurie, I think she was up there dancing away to the song.
I love that song. It's like, well, just makes you want to get up and dance.
Yes, doesn't it? I thought it was appropriate since we're talking about hard cider. Well, our next guest should be calling in here in a few minutes. Like I said earlier, her name is Rebecca Moreland, and we'll be playing some of her music. It's quite a change from Whiskey River to Rebecca's music. But as soon as she calls in, we'll bring her on. And, Laurie, I hate to put you on the spot, but do you have a quick food news story or any story you like to tell?
Well, you are putting me on the spot. I wasn't prepared for this, but let me go and see.
The reason I'm having you do this because I'm having technical difficulties bringing up Rebecca's music, so I was hoping that you could stall while I try to figure out how to load the next song.
Okay. Let's see if I have a...
Okay, it's only a live show, and we can just... take our sweet time.
I'll read the cheese article. How's
actually,
that?
I have the
you'll
music.
Get your,
I got the music loaded. So we're good. We're good. I got the music loaded. So Rebecca's supposed to be calling in here in a few minutes, and I'm going to play one of her songs. It's called Free Soul, and if everything works right, when I hit this button, the music should play, and then we will bring, hopefully, Rebecca, I can hit her button on the phone deal here and bring her on. So everybody hang tight. Keep your fingers crossed. Gray is going to push the button, and we should have Rebecca Moreland, Free Soul.
You did right. See, I don't know, but something in me just refuses to follow. All the way, you think I should sound, yeah, yeah. I don't fit in, I'm not ashamed. Born to be loud, hey, yeah, I am a free soul. I can't be locked down. I look big and I sing loud. Yeah. I am a free soul. I don't fit in. Say what you like, but I'll just keep dancing. Hey, 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 yeah. Hey, 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 yeah. You've never been good at blending in. No, but that's not from a lack of trying. It's just because I don't like you, yeah. It doesn't mean I don't have a song that's true. Hey, 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 I am a free soul. I can't be locked.
And that was Rebecca Moreland, and the song is called Free Soul, and Rebecca is joining us this morning. I hope if everything's working right here on the old phone system. Good morning, Rebecca. Welcome to our show.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. We're limping along here today. We've been having some technical difficulties, but thank you for joining us this morning, and we're just listening to your song, Free Soul. And did you write that song?
I did, yes. I wrote it about a year ago. I have a lot of people who always comment about how my voice doesn't really sound like everybody else's and how it doesn't really fit in. And so I wrote the song as kind of a sassy response to that.
Well, if I could sing like that, that part.
You can, just try.
Sign that guy up. But no, it's excellent music. I was listening to the songs that you sent to us. And would you consider yourself, I guess, are you a pop singer? Is that would that be the right, the fancy word? Is that the right genre?
Yeah, actually, I just started a new album this week, actually. And it should be, we're going to take our time on this one. It's going to be a few months in the making. But this sound is going to be very soulful pop. That's the genre we're going for, is soul pop.
Okay.
So.
And what is it? What is
yeah.
Do you have a CD now? What is the CD called?
Well, it's just a short EP. It's more of like
okay.
sample sounds. Some people call it like a mixed tape. That's a throwback name for it. But it's out. I have the single available on iTunes, and the music you can preview online. But it's actually not for sale right now because it's just
okay.
kind of a preview album. It's not the actual debut album yet. So you guys
okay.
are lucky. You get to hear some of the stuff that others
well,
can't quite
cool.
hear yet. Yeah.
So when is the new? When is the actual new CD supposed to be cutting out?
Well, like I said, we just started on it. We really want to take our time with this one because it's going to be the debut album. So it may be 3 months, it may be 6 months. If you are listening and you want to be, informed whenever it does release, you can go on my website, which is RebeccaMoreland.com, and I've got a fan page that you can sign, put your email in, and if you do that, then I'm going to mass email all my fans and let them know when the album is about to be ready. But what's cool, too, about the album is that as I'm making it, I'm going to be doing a video blog of the making of the album. And so you can follow that. Yeah, you can follow that on my Facebook page once I start that. And my Facebook is Rebecca Moreland. So.
Now you have quite a few
yeah.
followers there. I think you have like 12,000 or plus more followers there on Facebook. And wanted to have you on. I actually found you, I believe, through Reverb Nation. You were one of the top, I believe, the top one in that particular genre for the week that I contacted you. So it looks like things are going really well for you.
Yeah, I live here in Nashville, and I came here a few years ago. I thought it would just be a songwriter, and turned out that my voice just kind of ended up showing up, and I was able to be an artist because I wasn't always a great singer, and so it took a lot of work, but I realized that I might actually be able to pursue my dream of being an artist, and so I decided to go for it, and yeah, it's been going great.
So you were actually, when you went there, were looking more just to be a writer and really weren't going after the singing career when you first got to Nashville.
Right. It was like my childhood dream to be, you know, an artist, a singer, but I didn't think that I had the chops for it. I didn't think I'd be able to sing. But as I started to sing at different writers' rounds and everything, my voice just kind of grew, and I had a lot of people giving me really good feedback, and I kind of rethought my thinking that maybe I can do the artist thing. So.
Well, good for you. Now, this next song, I read on Facebook that you posted that you said this is one of your favorite songs that you had written. It's called Never Came Back to Me. Very interesting song. And is there a background story to the song?
Yes, actually, I have a really good friend here in Nashville that had a really difficult time. Her husband had gone on 3 or 4 tours. And there's a lot of songs out there, you know, about war and about its effect on people. But she was just feeling like she didn't want to be mean. She didn't want to be rude. She loved her husband to death, but it was just hard on her because, you know, people do tend to come back from overseas different. And she was just having a hard time adjusting with all of the changes. And he was struggling from PTSD and some other issues. And she just didn't know how to voice it without sounding like she wasn't being 100% supportive still. And so I wrote this song for her to kind of express her feelings to her husband. And it actually is really cool because she shared it with him. It made sense to him. And also she shared it on a lot of different online forums, and it helped a lot of Army wives.
Well, it's a really nice song. Cool. I'm going to play that next. It's called Never Came Back to Me. And we'll be back to chat with Rebecca after the song. Everyone hang tight. We'll be right back.
Reach out for you. You are here, but you're not there. 12 o'clock and I'm all by myself because you're still watching TV upstairs. Your body's here with me, but your soul is gone. But I don't know what's wrong. You came back from overseas, but you never really came back. No, you never came back to me. You walk around this house like you're in a dream. No, you never came back. Never came back, not like you promised me. You've got 3 boys and a brand new baby girl. They love you and just wanna be part of your world. Came back.
Rebecca Moreland, Never Came Back to Me. Excellent song, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Very nice, and I like the story behind it, too. So you were singing in Nashville. Do you play at concerts, festivals, or what do you actually do these days?
Well, yeah, all of the above. I'm playing out as much as I can and, you know, balancing it with working on the album. But last night we were actually in Huntsville, Alabama, playing a show there. And next weekend I'm going to Memphis, Tennessee. So if we have any listeners in Memphis, I'll be coming there next weekend. And you can look for details on my Facebook page. But, yeah, and then a couple weeks ago I was up in New York playing a couple of shows. So I'm trying to travel as much as possible. My goal is to just really be able to get the music in front of as many people as I can because I'm really excited about my music, and I want people to have fun listening to it. So.
Well, it's great stuff. And before we let you go, since this is a food show, since you're a traveling artiste out on the road all the time, what is a musical talent like yourself? What do you guys eat? Do you go to the fast food joints, or do you carry a barbecue grill around with you in your bus? What do you do?
Ooh, that's a good idea. It's actually interesting because, you know, being a foodie, I'm sure you're familiar with, I'm very allergic to gluten. And so traveling, I've had to, you know, be careful with what I eat. But actually here at home, and maybe I could do this, we could put it up on your blog, but I have invented my own gluten-free pizza recipe that's super, super easy.
Oh, good.
It's really good. It's not grilling, it's baking. But, on the road, you know, we try to get salads and that kind of thing since I'm allergy prone. But, we're such foodies. We've got a lot of great food restaurants. If you guys, if the listeners ever come to Nashville to visit, I just actually had breakfast this morning at a wonderful place called Fido. And they're just known for their kind of local food, local coffee here in town. It's amazing. Check them out online. And they were actually in the TV show Nashville. So.
Oh, cool. We actually had a report last week from Oregon. We had a girl there who's a roving reporter from the Gluten-Free Expo in Oregon. And gluten-free has become really actually a big format in the food business. And there's a lot of products that are out there now. She was telling us some of the new things they're coming out with. They actually have chocolate chip cookies and cakes and all kinds of things that are all gluten-free. They're made with different, I guess it's some kind of rice flour and those type of things. But very interesting. And I guess it's tough when you're on the road trying to find gluten-free products. But go to Walmart. I saw Walmart the other day had a whole row of gluten-free products. You can always swing into a Walmart.
Yeah, and I, you know, I've learned little tricks are like Cheetos are gluten-free, so I'll always get a bag of Cheetos.
want to post that pizza recipe, I'd love to put that on our website on Facebook, and I share that with everybody. And before I let you go,
yeah.
I wanted to just tell everybody again what your website address, which is RebeccaMoreland.com. We have a link here on our radio show. All you do is click and takes you right to Rebecca's website. And I was going to play this last song as we let you go called Just Fine. By the way, you're just fine with us. Everything, we appreciate you coming on our show this morning. is there a background story to the Just Fine?
Yeah, real quick, I'll tell you. It's probably 2 or 3 years ago I wrote this song, and things were not going well for me or my husband. We got married young, and things were just hard for us job-wise, and I was working as a waitress, and he was working odds and ends, and so I wrote this for us, this song's for us, and just knowing that even though not everything was coming together in our lives, everything was okay. And so, yeah, it's kind of
a sweet
song. Well,
good. Well, and of course, inquiring minds want to know, did everything go just fine?
Yeah, actually it did. You know, and that's how life is. You know, life is funny that way. Is as long as you smile through the hard times and, you know, keep going, inevitably, you know, what's important is that you keep your relationships happy and healthy and hold on to each other in, like, the hard times. And then, you know, pretty soon you open your eyes and you're in a better place. And so that's kind of what the song was for us.
Well, good for you. And thank you again for joining us this morning. And keep us posted when the new CD comes out. We'll let our listeners know. And go out there and have fun out there and all your upcoming concerts and let us know what great ideas. Anything new comes along, you're always welcome to come on the show.
All right, great. Well, thanks for having me. Bye.
Right.
Have a good Saturday.
Take care. All right, take care. And everybody, that was Rebecca Moreland. We're going to play her song just fine. We'll be right back.
Oh, I got stuck in my feet along the way. And heartache had me going so afraid. And you came along and breathed fresh air into my lungs. And I believed on air. I believe
Moreland, her song Just Fine. We appreciate Rebecca joining us this morning, and if you need to find out more about her, you can go to RebeccaMoreland.com. And Laurie, are you there? I'm pushing buttons, and I think you're back on with me.
I'm here.
You should see me down here. I'm pushing buttons, and nothing's happening. It's kind of like trying to light my charcoal grill the other night when the wind was blowing and the humidity was high and like nothing was happening, but anyway, it looks like we're limping through the show here. I wanted to mention that next week we have a singer named Louis Bello who's joining us. Louis's got a really interesting music that I think everyone will like. It's kind of a, I guess you call him a crooner, like the old Frank Sinatra, those type, that kind of sound. And Todd Berry, yeah, and Todd Berry will be joining us the following week. Todd was supposed to be on last week but had a family emergency, but he will be joining us on, what is it, November the 2nd. And also, if by chance you have your foodie and or have a food product or just like to eat, if you'd like to be on our show, all you have to do is contact us at our Facebook page or greenideas@earthlink.net. If you'd like to come on and talk about your product, talk about your food, whatever, what have you, and we're always looking for foodies for the show. And singers, we got singers lined up from here to, geez, almost, well, actually the first of the year, past the first of the year. So thank you for everybody who's supporting our show, and thank you to all the guests and all the listeners. And I don't know what happened to Paleo Boy. He didn't show up this morning, so he must be, like I said, working out or lost. He was building a barn last week, so God knows what he's building this week. I think the week before he was killing a pig. So with Aaron, you never know where he's going to be. And Laurie, I'm going to cut the show off early and play a little music because I'm having a heck of a time here trying to get things to work. But anything else you'd like to add before we call it a Saturday afternoon and shut this thing off?
No. Just have everybody have a wonderful.
You just want to go to the dollar store. That's what you're. And by the way, before I do call it quits here, thanks a lot for telling everybody you're upstairs changing the bed and cleaning the bathroom, because we're trying to present as if we're this real fancy radio show and we're in a studio, and you're telling everybody you're up in the bedroom cleaning.
I was doing the sheets. I washed the sheets and I was changing. I was trying to rush in between the commercials.
Yeah, folks,
I hate to leave with the bed
going.
I'm made. I know me.
We're a first-class operation here. Anyway, thank you for joining us, and come see us again next Saturday where we're doing the same thing over and over again, where we'll probably be changing the sheets and washing the bathroom too. So come join us again next week, and I'm going to play a little Redneck Incorporated. The song is called Get You Some of That, and everyone have a nice weekend, and I'm going to go get me some charcoal and start grilling pork steaks, and everybody have a nice weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
It's a bright one today, and his cheap sunglasses are tight. Ain't got a dollar in my pocket. I must have rocked it last night.